North End and Kollel, Sunday, 12th of June 2011, Yud Sivan Toshin Ayin Alas, Shir given by Gershon Hepner on Tehillim, chapter Yud Ches, and we're starting at Posuk Beis. I'd like to give this shir the zuchus of our learning. I think it's a good idea for us to learn in the zuchus that Ashley Klinger should have Refu Shalima, his Avram Tzvi Ben Hadassah should have Refu Shalima. All davening for him, should continue to daven for him, and should be blessed with Refu. Okay, so, Prophet Beis.
Last time we were just talking about the Lamed.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's right, the Lamed, that's right, it was Gamach, it was, yeah. Yeah.
You do a bit recap,
please. Oh, gosh. Okay, just really, really quickly. There's a Balaturim on... There's a Balaturim in Pasha Shoftim on one of the Pesukim about a king, where the Pasuk starts with the Lamed and finishes with a Lamed, and the Balaturim relates it to our Pasuk, which is, well, Chapter Yud Ches Pasuk Aleph, where the Pasuk begins with Lamnatzer, which begins with a lamed, then le'eved with another lamed, then le'dovid with another lamed. And he says that there are three lameds in connection with malchus, with kingdom, with royalty. One is the 30 gifts that kings are privileged with. The other is, not gifts, sorry, 30 milus. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos calls it 30 advantages that a king has. The other is that David became king at the age of 30, and the other is, I've forgotten, can't remember. You'll find them in the Batanura in Pirkei Avos Perek Vav.
In the Batanura?
Yeah.
Of Pirkei Avos.
Right, Yeah. I think it's somewhere they brought there.
So would it be in the
Yad
Abraham as well?
I don't know. Probably. Yeah, probably. I can't remember which Mishnah. On the Mishnah which says about Gedola Torah min HaKuhuna or min HaMalchus. That Mishnah. But okay, I can't remember. I'll have to listen. You see, I forget my own shirim. I'll have to listen to the shir again to remember the 30. Well, if you look it up, it's a Baal HaTurim in Shoftim on the last Pasuk, I think, of the Dinim of Malchus. Okay, I can't remember. Right, Pasuk Beis. Vayomar. He said... So you got it. I think it's on the fourth line down from that chapter. Vayomar, he said, Erechomcha Hashem Chizki, I will love you, Hashem, my strength. Really short pasuk, and fairly straightforward, really. Vayomar, he said, David said, Erechomcha.
Rachem is mercy.
Rachem is mercy, absolutely. Oh, we'll come to it. Exactly what the word Erechomcha means. Erechomcha Hashem, I'm going to translate it at the moment as, I will love you, Hashem, I will love you, God, Chizki, my strength. Now, the first thing to note about this pasuk is that, we're constantly showing the parallels between our chapter, Tehillim chapter Yud Ches, and the chapter in Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Beis, which is the same, essentially it's the same chapter. The remarkable thing about this is that, and there are a number of differences between the two chapters, and the differences are all enumerated in Maseches Sofrim Perek Ches. Maseches Sofrim being one of the small Masechtos, mainly of Brises, printed at the back of Gemara Avodah Zorah usually. So there, and all the differences between Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Beis, and Tehillim chapter Yud Ches are listed there in Maseches Sofrim Perek Ches. But one of the most remarkable differences between the two chapters is not. The majority of these differences are a letter here, a letter there, maybe a word here and a word there. But here you have a remarkable difference, because this entire posuk, Vayomar Erechomcha Hashem Chizki, does not appear in Shmuel Beis chapter Kaf Beis. So let me show you. In Shmuel, if you compare Perek Yud Ches in Tehillim, I'll read out from Shmuel Beis chapter Kaf Beis, and you'll see the differences. From Shmuel Beis chapter Kaf Beis, compare with what you've got there in Tenim chapter Yud Ches. Ha'davetavet LaHashem es divrei Hashira Hazos b'yom hitzim Hashem Moshe mikaf kol ovav u'mikaf sha'ul. There's a few differences there. Vayomar Hashem sali u'msedosi u'mefalti li. And that is actually Perik, that pasuk by Yomar Hashem Salim Sadosi and Mufalti Li is very similar to what we've got in Pasuk Gimel of our chapter. Hashem Salim Sadosi and Mufalti. With a few changes here and there. In other words, chapter Kaf Beis in Shmuel Beis omits this entire pasuk that we've got here, Vayomar Erchomcha Hashem Chizki. That difference, that pasuk is just not appear at all in chapter Kaf Beis. In Shmuel Beis, okay? Interesting, it's an entire missing posuk. What makes it even more remarkable is that if you have a look in Maseches Sofim Perek Shmini, it says, Eilu hein chilufei shiros Tehillim b'shiros Shmuel. Here are the differences between the song in Tehillim and the song in Shmuel. And then he starts listing them. And the list that he gives in this chapter, in Maseches Sofim Perek Ches, that list follows the pasukim in Shmuel Beis chapter Kaf Beis, and he says Vayadaber. First difference is that in Shmuel Beis chapter Kaf Beis it starts Vayadaber, while in our chapter in Tehillim it starts Lam Natzeach. Then he goes on Umafalti Li. He jumps to that one which is in Shmuel Beis chapter Kaf Beis pasuk Beis. Vayomar Hashem Saliyum Sadosi Umafalti Li, with the extra word Li. Whereas in our chapter Yud Ches Pasuk Gimel in Tehillim, it's got Hashem Saliyum Sadosi Umafalti without the word Li. So he's jumped to that difference. And the major huge difference that is just not there in Maseches Sofrim is that it's an entire missing pasuk. Vayomar Erchomcha Hashem Tzidki. Erchomcha Hashem Chizki. That pasuk does not appear at all, and Maseches Sofrim does not point it out. But if you have a look in the Nusach of the Gon, Nuschas Hagro, which is a pirush on this, he's got a slightly different version where he writes there. He says, "Vayom Hashem Sali uvitehilim." He adds in the Nusach of the Gon, of the Vilna Gon, he says, "Uvitehilim vayomar erchomcha Hashem Chizki," followed by Hashem Sali. In other words, the Nusach of the Gon of Maseches Sofrim does include that difference. Okay? Interesting? Anyway, we have a difference there between the two chapters. Now, with all these differences, the Abarbanel on Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Beis, devotes a lot of what he writes there to explain the differences between Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Beis, and Tehillim, chapter Yud Ches. And he says, of course, he asks this question, why is this pasuk not written in Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Beis? Why isn't it there? And he says as follows, the chapter Kaf Beis in Shmuel Beis, when David wrote that chapter, that was a thank you chapter. It's a song, it's a shira, to say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all the chasadim and all the kindnesses Hashem has done with David in the past. When David reworded that chapter to be Tehillim chapter Yud Ches, a lot of the rewording is devoted to being tefillos for the future. And this Erchomcha Hashem Chizki is not, it does not really belong to thanking Hashem for all his previous favors, but rather it's a tefillah for the future. So it has no place in Shmuel Beis chapter Kaf Beis, while it does fit because Shmuel Beis chapter Kaf Beis is devoted to the past, while Tehillim chapter Yud Ches is devoted to the future, and their tefillah to the future, so it does have a position here in Tehillim, while it does not have a position in Shmuel Beis. Okay, good. Yeah. Now, so we haven't actually explained the pasuk at all yet. All we've done is highlight the fact that it does appear here and does not appear there. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what does the pasuk actually mean? Once again, Vayomar, he said, David said, Erchomcha Hashem, I will love you, Hashem, Chizki, my strength. So So Rashi explains this word Erchomcha, Rashi translates it as E'ehovcha, I will love you. And that's where I got the translation from. Shein out of Rashi, Erchomcha means E'ehovcha, I will love you. How do we know that Erchomcha means to love, I would love you. So Rashi explains from a pasuk in Shema. Not in Shema. A pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim. Well, a pasuk v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. It's in Vayikra chapter Yotes pasuk Yudches. Rashi says that word v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. That word v'ahavta, you will love, is translated by Targum Unkelus as usarachamei. So usrachamei, the Targum reads that usrachamei lachavroch kavasoch, which means you should love your neighbor as you love yourself. So the word v'ahavta is translated as usrachamei with the same root as erchomcha, reish chesmem, and therefore Rashi says I'm justified in translating erchomcha as e'ehovcha, I would love you. Okay?
Amazing that you do that. There's encyclopedic knowledge.
Everything is amazing in Rashi. yeah. You just knew the Targum. Yeah. Erchomcha.
But surely isn't the Targum himself hinting to the fact that in his view, the way to do the mitzvah of you shall love your fellow like yourself, the Targum is saying that his view is that the way to do that is to focus on being showing mercy and being empathetic. That's maybe what he's trying to teach us. He's not actually saying that it's not you shall love. He's just trying to say that he thinks the emphasis should be on being empathetic and being merciful to your fellow.
It could be. I mean, I don't think it's a contradiction in terms. I mean, love and mercy are not even two sides of the same coin. They are. They're the same side of the same coin, you know, they go hand in hand. So obviously there's going to be a connection there. But we're going to see that this translation of Erechomcha is open to lots of interpretations, which we're going to see. Reish Chesmem is the root, and we usually use it in terms of mercy. Rachamim, yeah? Rachim Hashem Elokeinu Al Yisrael Amecho. Yeah, we usually use it in terms of the chem bechesed of the rachamim. Now, it's definitely connected to the word rechem, which is a womb. And we're talking about maternal mercies, right? And a mother's natural feelings for her child. Rachmonus. And we say, karachim of albonim. Kein tachim Hashem alinu. Karachim of albonim. Like a father has mercy on his child, so you should also have mercy on us. So there's definitely a connection there between parenthood and mercy. Yeah?
This bears out what you're just saying.
So it's definitely connected to the word rechem, a womb. Okay? I remember once hearing when a good friend of mine who lives in Gateshead, Rafi Zaltzer, when he had his first child born, I remember hearing one of the Magid Eshein Gets Yeshiva, Rabbi Zur Rosenbaum, turned to him and said, "You now qualify as a member of the Sanhedrin." Why? He said, "Because a member of the Sanhedrin, halacha is, a member of the Sanhedrin must have children. You can't be a member of the Sanhedrin if you've got children." Why? Because until a person has a child, he cannot fully appreciate Rachmonus. Yeah? So it's directly connected. The word rechem, which is a womb, all about childbirth, is definitely connected to concepts of Rachmanis and having mercy. Yeah, you know, you don't fully appreciate what Rachmanis is until you've got to get up and change nappies at 2 in the morning, and then again at 2:30, and then again at 2:45. You know, that's Rachmanis.
You can only be a dayan when you've still got young children.
When you have young children.
Ah. Where that, I wish I remember who told me this, but one of the Dayanim said that you have to have young children still when you're appointed to be a Dayan.
That's what she said.
The Dayanim are always appointed, not like in some careers when they get into their 50s. They're appointed when they're still young because they have to have young children still. No, they have to be getting up in the middle of the night.
Grandfather, father.
But it's apparently it's the act of getting up in the night.
yeah.
Maybe if for the grandchildren living at home and with the parents, maybe that's a different matter.
Okay, let's come on to the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra on this pasuk shows us a remarkable discovery on this word Erchomcha. This word Erchomcha is one of the strangest words in Tanakh. Why? Because the root, Reish Ches Mem, which means have mercy, Rachim, is always used in a particular form of conjugation in Hebrew. And that conjugation is called the PL. And it's always used in that pattern, that style of Hebrew of Hebrew conjugation of verbs it's always used in the PL. Merachim, Richamti, Arachim. These are all examples, all in the PL. The word Rachim is all form. They all belong to the PL conjugation of Hebrew verbs. Here, Erchomcha is the only time in Tanakh that you have the root Reish Ches Mem, which is not used in the PL, but instead is used in a different pattern of conjugation of verbs called the Kal, Erchomcha. Now, the Kal is a particular pattern of conjugations. Typically, like Shomarti, Omarti, Omadati. You can hear that the vowels are all identical. Shomarti, I guarded. Holachti, I went. Omarti, Omadati, Lokachti. That's the simple past tense. Yeah. Whereas in the PL form, it would be something like Kibalti, Chizakti, Gidalti, which is a different pattern. There's a chirik under the first letter of the root there, as opposed to a komots. In Omadati, Lomadati, it's got a komots. That's in the kal. Gidalti, Kibalti, Dibarti are all in the PL with the chirik under the first letter of the root. And it's an intensive form, absolutely, it's a more intensive form. The PL is usually, or maybe I should say, is often a more intensive form than the Kal. Now, Reish Ches Mem is every single time is used in the PL. Richamti, Richamta, Richamt, Richem, Richamnu, whereas, or Arachem, Murachem. In the PL, it's Arachim. Arachim, like Adaber, Akabel, Arachim, Amale, Achazek, right? These are all PL forms. Rachim Arachamenu are both in the PL form. Mm-hmm. Now, Reish Ches Mem is always used in the PL. And this is the only case in the whole of Tanakh when it's used in the Kal form. Okay? And the Ibn Ezra points this out. Rachim is a PL. Rachim. It comes from the same, it comes from the word Terachim. Terachim, you will have mercy, is a future tense. Terachim, which is in the PL. Terachim, Tadaber, Tamalei, Techazek, Tegadel. Yeah? These are all in the PL. And to make an imperative form, you should remove the first letter, you get Rachim. From Terachim, you remove the Tof, and you get Terachim. Every Pardes House boy knows that I equals F minus 1. The imperative is the future tense minus the first letter. Yeah? Yeah? So from Terachim, you get Rachim. I also tell them, I say, it's always the Tof that we knock off. Right, so from Terachim you get Rachim. Yeah. Okay, there you are. You now qualify as part of House alumni. Okay, so So the Ibn Ezra points this out. This is the only time in the whole of Tanakh, and I'm so excited by this. It's the only time in the whole of Tanakh that Reish Ches Mem is not used in the PL, but rather is used in the Kal. And I was so amazed by it. I hope the Ibn Ezra will forgive me, but I looked it up in a concordance to check out the words of Ibn Ezra, and I looked up every single time it's got the word Reish Ches Mem, the root Reish Ches Mem in the whole of Tanakh, and indeed this is the only one which is in the Kal. I looked up some concordance, which is an encyclopedia based on roots.
Really?
Yeah, so you can look up every word in Tanakh based on its roots. Right. Yeah, it's easy. No, it's no big deal. Yeah,
it's a bit like
Yeah. It's got more holiness than the Oxford Dictionary.
You don't even have to say that.
No. It's I don't know. No, I'll bring it in, I'll show you, or you can have a look on my shelf. It's not too... Yeah. Okay, so that's very short. It's about that thick. Yeah. Okay, so the Ibn Ezra says the only time it's used in the Kal and not in the PL. Okay, and he points out a remarkable thing. He says this verb erchomcha is, he says the Ibn Ezra, is an intransitive verb. Okay, it's not a in other words, it has no direct object. And he says it does not mean I will love you, which of course is how Rashi learns it. Rashi learns e'ehovcha, I will love you, which
you
of course you being the direct object, yeah, exactly, yeah, I will love you. And the Ibn Ezra says no, it's not that. And he says it's an intransitive verb, and it means I will seek rachmanus from you. So not I will love you, you with me? Yeah? Not I will love you, which is how Rashi learns it, which of course means it has got a direct object, and it is a transitive verb according to Rashi. Says the Ibn Ezra, this is an intransitive verb, and it has no direct object, and it means avakesh rachamim mimcha, that's his wording, avakesh rachamim mimcha, I will seek mercy from you. I erchomcha, I will seek rachamim cha from you. And that's very, very strange, because this chof ending, erchomcha, is really typical of a direct object. Like eshmorcha, I will guard you. Yeah? So you can see that, and in fact, eshmorcha is a direct form, or is a direct parallel to erchomcha. Erchomcha, eshmorcha. It's got exactly the same pattern of vowels. So, and eshmorcha is I will guard you. So erchomcha looks as though it means I will have mercy on you. But of course that can't be right. Because David can't say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I will have mercy on you, God. Yeah, that makes no sense. And that's probably what drives Rashi to say that it means I will love you, because it can't mean I'll have mercy on you.
Rashi says he has a simple problem. Hold on a minute, it can't mean I will love you.
Exactly. It can't mean I will have mercy on you.
Therefore, it must mean something else.
That's why Rashi connects it to that word, the Targum on Vahavtarecha Kamocha, Ustarachami, and it means Ahavo, and it means I will love you. The Ibn Ezra says no, it's not, it also, he has this problem, it can't mean I will have mercy on you, can't mean that, and therefore what it means, it means Avakesh Rachamim Mimcha, I will seek mercy from you. And says Ibn Ezra, it's an intransitive verb. The word in Hebrew for a transitive verb is poel yotze. Poel means a verb, doing something. Yotze, it's going out to something else. So I will love you is a poel yotze. That's a verb which is transitive. It carries a direct object. Yeah, but the Ibn Ezra says it can't mean that. It means I will seek mercy from you. So there's no direct object in the pasuk. That's how the Ibn Ezra learns. Now we have a slight problem here, according to the Ibn Ezra, and the Ibn Ezra asked the Kasha himself, and that is it just doesn't make grammatical sense, because erchom cha, the cha ending implies a direct object, like eshmor cha, I will guard you. It implies a direct object. Says the Ibn Ezra, he quotes another pasuk. He quotes a pasuk in Yirmiyah, and it's in chapter Yud pasuk chaf, where the pasuk says, a rather sad pasuk, talking about the destruction of Yerushalayim, and the pasuk there says, "Bonai yitzouni." It's as though Yerushalayim is talking, and Yerushalayim says, "Bonai yitzouni." My children have gone out from me. Okay, my children have gone out from me. In other words, the Kalam Yisrael have gone into Golus from Yerushalayim. Says the Ibn Ezra, that word yitzouni, that the ni ending, the nun yud ending, is a direct object ending. Like yishmereini, he will guard me. That's a direct object. So yitzouni means they have gone out me. They've done something to me. And it's a direct object. Says the Ibn Ezra, but it can't mean that there, because it's like the town saying, Yerushalayim saying, my children have gone out from me. Says the Ibn Ezra, so we have a precedent. We've got these two cases. We've got Bona Yitzouni, and although the Nun Yud ending at the end implies a direct object, here it does not, and it means my children have gone out from me. Likewise here, erchamcha does not mean I will have mercy on you, which of course makes no sense. It means I will seek mercy from you. Yeah? That's the Ibn Ezra. Let me get this right. Now, the point being, the point behind the Ibn Ezra highlighting this is that Resh Ches Mem, usually used in the PL. Now, one of the functions of the PL is where a verb is used with a direct object. I'll give you some very simple examples. Take the root sin mem ches, which means to have joy, simcha. Now you get the word somachti. Mm. I was happy. I rejoiced. But you also get, and that's in the kal. Somachti, like omarati, shomarati, lomadati, lokachti. It's got that pattern of the kal, and it means I rejoiced. I was happy. Mm-hmm. Now take the same root sin mem ches and put it into the PL, and you get simachti, kibalti, chizakti, and so on. Simachti does not mean I rejoiced. Simachti means I made someone else happy. Okay? You see the difference. Somachti, I was happy. Simachti, I made someone else happy. So it has a causative effect, and it carries the direct object. I made him happy.
The form of the PL, when it becomes imperative, that it looks like, if you didn't know your grammar properly, it would look like a kal, because it becomes like rachem. You said that was the imperative with the sof.
It does not look like a kal, because it wouldn't look like a kal, because the kal pattern of the imperative is quite different. The kal pattern of the imperative would be...
I said if you didn't know your grammar properly.
Oh, I see. It would be rachem. Right. In the cow,
but it's got the so it looks like, if you don't know your grammar properly, you think it's a
maybe, okay.
But that's rachem
in the imperative. Yeah,
in the imperative. But now you're using a different example. Now you're using the chirik at the beginning. Simma.
Okay. All right. So we'll do it another one. We'll do it. Okay, so let's do it in the future tense. Again, using sin mem ches, yesamach. V'yayin yesamach levavenosh. Pasuk in Tehillim chapter Kuf Dalet. Brachinashi. V'yayin yesamach levavenosh. Wine makes the heart of man, gladdens the heart of man. So that means... you will rejoice. That's in the kal. V'samachto is in the kal. Simachto would be in the PL. Yesamach, the Yayin Yesamach is in the PL. Yesamach, future tense, is in the PL, and it means it will make me happy. It will make one, so it carries the direct object. It will make me happy. The Yayin Yesamach levav enosh. Wine gladdens the heart of man. Mm-hmm. That's a poel yotze. It's a transitive verb. Okay? That's one example. I'll give you another very similar example. Take Gimel Dalad Lamed. Sorry, it's going to be quite a technical share on grammar here. You alright with this? Yeah?
We'll get Daniel to come along.
Daniel?
Tell Daniel to listen to this. He likes
Madak. Which Daniel?
Your
Harissa.
Daniel. One of your
Harissas. Okay. Okay, so take Gimel Dalad Lamed. Take this route, Gimel Dalad Lamed, which means to be big or to be great. So you have a word like Godalti, which is in the Kal, and it means I grew up. Godalti. Mm-hmm. So the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Kol Yom I Godalti ben HaChachomim. All my days I grew up amongst Chachomim. Right? Mm-hmm. Godalti, I grew up. That's in the Kal. Now put that into the PL and you get Gidalti. Mm-hmm. Gidalti means I made something grow. That's in the past. Gidalti is in the past. Yeah. In the future, Agadel. I will make something grow. Or I will make something great. That's in the PL. In the Kal, it would be Egdal. I will be great. Or I will be big. Yeah? Yeah? So there's different patterns for the PL and for the Kal. And the function in this context of the Kal is where something does not have a direct object, whereas in the PL it does have a direct object. So I'll give you one more example, which is really a fantastic example, and that's Lamed Mem Dalet, to learn. Right? So you can have a word, Lilmod is to learn, and that's in the Kal. But Lelamed is in the PL, and it means to teach. Because you're making someone else learn. Melamed is a PL form. Melamed. Lomed is in the Kal, and it means learn. Melamed is in the PL, and it means to teach.
So Melamed is a teacher.
Melamed is a teacher, exactly, right? Mm. Now, there's another function of it. I must add this thing, because it's something which I learned from Mr. Clifestone, who taught me so much diktuk, and that is that the PL has another function, which you mentioned, Jonathan, and that is the PL is sometimes a more intensive form of the Kal. Okay, an intensive form of the Kal. So, for example, a classic example is Shin Veis Reish, which means to break. So in the Kal, you get Shavarti, which means I broke. Put the same root, Shin Veis Reish, in the PL, and you get Shibarti, which means I smashed, which is a stronger form. Okay? So we see that the PL has two functions. It's probably got many others as well. But the PL has two functions. Sometimes it is an intensive form of the Kal. So Shibarti, I smashed, instead of merely Shavarti, I broke.
And I will smash.
Ashaber. And I will break is Eshber. Yeah? It's a different form. Like Eshmer, I will guard, is in the Kal. El Mod, I will learn, is in the Kal. Echtov, I will write, is in the Kal. But put it into the PL, and you would get Alamed, I will teach. Ashaber, I will smash. Okay? Vayadaber. Dalet Reis Reish is nearly always used in the PL. But there are cases of it in the Kal as well. Okay? How are we doing? Yeah? Okay? Now, says the... So I'm just telling you about Lamed Mem Dalet, which I learned, and I learned this from Clifestone. Lamed Mem Dalet, in the Kal, Lomadati, Lil Mode, El Mode, is all about learning. I will learn. Put it in the PL... Yeah, Lil Mod Ulalamid, absolutely. Lil Mod to learn, Ulalamid and to teach. Now put that in the Kal, it means to learn. Put it in, and that's Lil Mod. Put it into the PL, and it means to teach. Now, here in the PL, it has both meanings of the PL, both the intensive form of the Kal, and also the causative form, where it takes a direct object. Because it can mean, because teaching is automatically an intensive form of learning. I know that you can only teach something if you've learnt it through intensively yourself. Yeah. So teaching is an intensive form of learning. Yeah. So that's why teaching is Lamed Mem Dalet in the PL, because it's merely an intensive form of learning. But you can also say that Lamed Mem Dalet is also it carries a direct object. I'm causing you to learn. I am teaching you. So that's why it's also in the PL. Lamed Mem Dalet in the PL, meaning to teach. Lelamed. So you can see we've got these two styles of conjugating a verb, either in the PL or in the Kal. Now, that learning is an intensive form of. Oh, sorry, that teaching is an intensive form of learning, which is why Lamed Mem Dalet, to teach, is in the PL. Because, as you put it to me, in theory, to teach should be Lamed Mem Dalet using a completely different binyan, a totally different conjugation, using the Hifil conjugation. The Hifil conjugation is a causative. I'm causing you to learn. And it should be L'Halmid. Which is the Hifil form, rather like take a shoresh like peches dalad, which is to be scared. So pochadati means I was scared. But now take the same root peches dalad and put it in the Hifil, and you get hifchadati, which is I caused fear, which means I frightened. So to cause someone to learn should be in the Hifil. Lamed Mem Dalet in the Hifil. So So you could say, Hilmadati, I caused someone to learn, which is I taught.
Yes.
Okay? Now you do find Lamed Mem Dalet in the Hifil in the form of a word like Talmid, which is a noun made from the Hifil. Talmid is someone who is made to learn. He's a student, right? Talmid. Talmud is not the same. Talmud is in the Kal, is a noun based on the Kal.
Talmid
is also a noun based on the Hifil.
So
Talmud is not. No. Talmud means learning, and that's a noun based on the Kal. Talmid is a noun based on the Hifil. So Clive Fiston, who really taught me so much Dikduk and still does teach me Dikduk almost whenever I see him, he tells me a Chiddush, but yeah. So he pointed out to me that to teach, in theory, should be Lamed Mem Dalet, which is to learn, and it should be in the Hifil, which is a causative to cause to learn. And it should be Hilmadati, I taught. Meaning I caused to learn. We do find Lamed Mem Dalet in a Hifil form, in the form of a noun like Talmid, which is a noun based on a Hifil. But generally, the verb to teach is Lamed Mem Dalet in the PL. So he was machadish to me. He showed me, because Lamed Mem Dalet to teach is an intensive form of learning. So it's put in the PL, which is an intensive form of the Kal.
Right, so what we're saying is that the PL is normally just an intensive form of the verb. It's not always causative.
It can be one or the other or both, and it can also be neither. You do get some verbs, you get some verbs which are naturally used in the PL pattern, and they don't have an intense meaning, and they also don't necessarily have a causative meaning, and they don't necessarily carry a direct object. So a classic example would be Dalet Reish Reish. In other words, like they naturally form into the PL pattern. Dalet Reish Reish, which means to speak, is nearly always used in the PL. Vayadaber, Medaber, Dibarti, these are all PL patterns. Okay, so Dalet Reish Reish is not an intensive form of speaking. It's speaking. It's not necessarily intensive, and it's also not.
Another good thing, Adabarti wouldn't make sense.
Which one?
It's if you put it into
the Kal.
The Kal path.
You do get.
Adabarti, it wouldn't make sense.
Well, no, Adabarti is not. Wouldn't quite be.
What would it be?
In the Kal path, it would be Dovarti. Like Shaw Marti. It would be Dovarti. And the future would be Edber. Like Eshmer.
So we don't, really
we don't that. Find that, do we? Yeah. We do find the PL pattern Adaber. But you do find cases of Dalet Reish Reish in the Kal. I've actually got a bookmark here, although the bookmarks are something else. You do find it, for example, in Yonah Perek Gimel, Pasuk base, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yonah, go to Nineveh and tell them the announcement, Asher Anochi Dover Eilecha, which I am saying to you. Now that word Dover is Dalet Reish Reish, but it's in the Kal, and it's unusual. Normally it would be Asher Anochi Medaber, which would be a PL, but it's Dover. So you do find Dalet Reish Reish in the Kal, but it's unusual. Normally it'll be used in the PL. So I don't know why it's there in the Kal. That I don't know. But so PL words are sometimes intensive, like Shibarati, I smashed, instead of Shavarati, I broke. They are sometimes carrying a direct object, like Gidalti, I grew something, I grew an object, Gidalti, I grew a plant, Gidalti, which carries a direct object. Or there can be both, like Limadati, I taught, which is both an intensive form of learning and carries a direct object, I taught the student. And sometimes it can be neither, like Dalet Reish Reish, it's just a naturally used in the PL. It's not necessarily intensive, but it's not necessarily carrying a direct object. Okay?
In the Haredia this week, on Debir and Omer. Did you read this?
I didn't see it.
Because Debir, you address a person. It's communication from Hashem to the person, directly, you. Speaking to the people, it's an object, you speak to the people.
Mm-hmm.
Amar is used in terms of gracious. The Hashem gives his word of Hashem. There's nobody around. It's the ten words of creation, which are Amar. But Debir only appears when the people arrive. So actually, Debir is inherently addressing someone, something, some object.
Interesting.
I didn't know that. Very interesting. Yeah.
Could that be a reason why they say "Vayomer Hashem El Moshe Le'mor"? Is that even though Hashem is speaking to Moshe, "Vayomer Hashem El Moshe," it's actually intended for a wider audience. So if that Hamadia Drush is building on that Hamadia Drush, it's intended for a wider audience. That's why it fits with Vayomer Hashem.
Could be, yeah. Yeah, it could be.
It's not like just for Moshe. It's not for Moshe just to keep it all to himself.
Yep. Okay, so now, so what do we have here in our... So we're still on the Ibn Ezra. So the Ibn Ezra explains our word erchomcha using the root resh chesmem, which is always used in the PL, meaning to have mercy on someone. So it normally does carry a direct object. Here it does not carry a direct object, and it's used in the kal. It does not carry a direct object. It's an intransitive verb. It does, and therefore it means, says Ibn Ezra, I will beg mercy from you. So it's not carrying a direct object. Okay?
Which is still okay, but that still feels intense though. I will seek mercy, it feels more intense than just I will be merciful.
Maybe. Well, it's not saying I will be merciful. He's saying I'm according to the Minetta, I'm asking you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for mercy. It cannot be a transitive verb.
This is
the kal, absolutely.
I'm saying that the translation that Ibn Ezra suggests, it feels more intense than the usual PL form of Rachem. Rachem is meant to be intense, right? That's why some, for instance, in the benching, some people add rachem na as a sort of like get the idea that it's really pleading, begging for mercy from Hashem, right? It's meant to be like that, no?
I think I would disagree, okay. But I'm not sure. Okay. I think I would say that Reish Chesmem is used in the PL, usually, nearly always. This is the only exception. Reish Chesmem is used in the PL, not because of the intense meaning of most PL, of many PLs, but rather because it carries a direct object. Have mercy on someone.
Okay.
Carries an object, yeah? To be merciful to someone.
Okay.
Rachim olai, have mercy on me, is a PL.
Because
it's carrying a direct object. Or not a direct, it's actually carrying an indirect object.
Yeah, like in
mercy
the
on
thing, it's Rachim ali Yisrael amecha.
Exactly.
Be merciful on the people.
On the people, yeah? So, whereas here, says Ibn Ezra, it does not have a direct object. Because if it would have a direct object, it would mean erchomcha, I will have mercy on you. And that makes no sense, because that's what David's saying. How can David say that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So that's why Rashi learns Ehovcha, I will love you. And that's why the Ibn Ezra learns, it means I will seek mercy from you. But, okay, and just one last thing on this, just to make the Ibn Ezra complete, is that he brings a second pshat on this Ehovcha, and the second pshat is agreeing with Rashi. It means I will love you. So he brings both pshat in. He learns like Rashi in his second pshat, and not like Rashi in his first pshat. Okay.
Much longer.
Much longer. Never mind. Because the dikduk is tricky. Yeah. Okay. The Radak has a beautiful short piece there which says that he says Erchomcha, he learns at Rashi, Erchomcha means Echovcha, I will love you. And he says that coming to Madrigo of loving Hashem is a later Madrigo than fearing Hashem. And his expression is, you first have to come to Madrigo of Yiras Hashem, which is fearing God, which is a great Madrigo, but even higher is a Madrigo of Ahavas Hashem, of loving Hashem. That's the Retaksuras Pshat, and he just, like Rashi, Ehov Chai will love you. Then he brings the second Pshat, which is the same as the Ibn Ezra's Pshat, Avakesh Rachamim Mincha, I will seek mercy from you. Mm-hmm. And then the Retak says something very odd. And I'm going to say with this Ratak, even though there's a lot on here that I don't understand. And he points out that the word Erchomcha is not spelt the way we've got it in our text. Says the Ratak, the word Erchomcha, the vowel on the Ches is a Chataf Komot. Okay, we've got a lot of grammar, a lot of dikduk on this pasuk.
We've done it before.
Well, yeah, chatav komots is, you know, it's written like a komot with two dots looking like a shavod just in front of it.
Never remember anything.
I can't remember anything. Sorry.
Okay, that's learning.
As long as you're learning. So the Radak says that this word Erchomcha is spelt with a chataf komots on the ches. And that's what he says, chataf komots on the ches. Yeah? You with me, Louis? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah? Yeah? Oh. And this is also picked up by the Minchas Shai, who says that he says it's a bit of a machlokes, a difference of opinion how to spell the word Erchomcha. He says some spell it with a komots on the ches, which is how it's printed in every single sefer I've looked at. Mm-hmm. And some spell it with a chataf komot, which is how it's, and I haven't yet seen that in any of the printed Sfarim.
Were these Sephardim to make it, if they were pronouncing this word, would they pronounce it Erchomcha in both cases? You know, there's the case.
Probably not.
Sometimes you don't, if you're using Sephardi pronunciation, you don't need the chataf komot in order to turn the normal a sound into the o.
Correct. Right? Some of them are komots with an o sound even in the Sephardi pronunciation. To be honest, I don't know. I tell you who will know, and that's Brian Gadala.
Really?
Yeah. You know, very often I will check with him if I'm teaching a boy for bar mitzvah who's going to learn with the Sephardi pronunciation. Mm-hmm. If I'm not sure about a particular komot, I go to him and I ask him how it's. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So the Minchas Shai points out it's a machlokus two different versions on how to spell this word Erchomcha. Mm-hmm. Some spell it with a komot on the ches, some spell it with a chataf komot on the ches, and all the Sfarim I've seen all spell it with a komot on the ches. And the Minchas Shai says, why does it have a komot on the ches? He says, because it's a guttural letter. The Ches is a guttural letter. Now, you know that we have five guttural letters in Hebrew. Aleph, He, Ches, Ayin, and Resh. Mm-hmm. Typically, they never take a dogesh. Mm-hmm. They're called Osius Agoron, the letters of the throat, or in English people call them the guttural letters. And to remember the list is a fantastic mnemonic of Aleph, He, Ches, Ayin, and Resh. A terrific mnemonic. Ha'och, Ha'ra. The bad brother. That gives you those letters, Aleph, Hei, Ches, Ayin, and Resh. And I must point out that this fantastic mnemonic, Ha'och, Ha'ra, was given to me by my wonderful brother, Yecheskel. He gave me this terrific mnemonic. Yeah. So, Ha'och, Ha'ra, Aleph, Hei, Ches, Ayin, and Resh, those letters. Now, those guttural letters very often will take a chataf vowel. Well, there are three chataf vowels, chataf patach, chataf komot, chataf segel, and somehow or another, guttural letters, aleph, hei, ches, ayin, and resh, often attract a chataf vowel, where normally the vowel would take a shavah, they will often take a chataf vowel instead. Okay? Probably statistically, most chataf vowels fall on guttural letters. Says the Minchas Shai, because this letter Ches is a guttural letter, therefore on our word, Erchomcha, it takes a chataf komots and not a komots, it takes a chataf komots. And he brings a quote from Tehillim chapter Pe'alef, Pasuk Ches, which is the Shish El Yom for Thursday, where the pasuk there says, well, you recognize it, Evchoncha al mim rivya selah. Hashem says, Evchoncha, I tested you al mim rivya, by the waters of strife, which is of course from Parshas Chukas when Moshe hit the rock. I tested you al mim rivya selah. So now that word Evchoncha is spelt in all the Sfarim I've seen, it's also spelt with a komotz on the ches. Says the Mincha Shai, no. It, the ches is a gashra letter, and it takes a chafaf komotz. So in fact, the phrase, the word ev chomcha has exactly the same pattern as er chomcha in our pasuk. It's the same style of word, same pattern, and on both of them, the Mincha Shai says that the ches should take a chafaf komotz and not a komotz. Now, I've got a bit of a kasha on that. It's not a big kasha, it's a small kasha, and that is, it's quite technical, and that is a chataf vowel counts grammatically like a shava. Okay, like the shava vowel, the two dot vowel, the chataf vowel always counts like a shava. It's as though it is tantamount to being a shava.
From what
perspective? Oh, so I'll give you a simple perspective, a simple thing. Okay. Take a word like, okay, this is going to be quite technical. Take a word like amartem, which means you said. Mm-hmm. Amartem has a chataf patach under the aleph. Okay? The root is aleph memresh, and it's a form of words in the kal. Mm-hmm. And it's parallel to shemartem, you guarded. Lekachtem, you took. Now that word amartem has a chataf patach under the aleph, while shemartem, lekachtem, kesavtem have a shva. Okay? Why does it take a chataf patach? Because the aleph is a gatra letter. Okay? You get the same thing with chazaktem. You are strong.
You need to have a wider mouth sound.
I don't know.
If
you say what? Amartem.
If you said amartem, it would be lost.
Maybe. Amartem. Maybe. I'm not sure.
You to get the sound out.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Okay. Maybe. Yeah? Okay. Yeah. Could be, I don't know. But you get this chatapatach on those words. So the standard form of the word would be like shemartem, you guarded, shemartem, you heard, lekachtem, you took, kesavtem, you wrote, with a shavo on the first root letter. But because the first root letter is a guttural, it's an aleph, so it changes to amartem with a chatapatach on the aleph. Amartem, chazaktem, again with a chatapatach on the ches. Amadatem, you stood, which begins with an ayin. Again, that's a gatra letter, so it takes a chata patach. Okay? So far, so good?
Yeah.
So it's parallel to a shavah.
You think of someone with a chaf.
A chaf,
which normally a chaf would start with a dagesh in, normally.
Yes.
But if a certain word falls beforehand, like, for instance, mare chohen, instead of it mare kohen, it becomes mare chohen.
Yes.
So my theory about guttural, so in this case, the chaf, even though it's a kaf, it's not one of the guttural letters.
Correct.
But it is still a guttural sound.
Same sound. Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
Would you get a chasaf or not?
No, you would not. Right. You would not. You wouldn't. I can't think of a particular example, but no, you wouldn't. Yes, I can. Take a word like uchasavtem. Yeah. And you will write uchasavtem, mm-hmm. Whereas the parallel form using with a ches there, mm-hmm. would be vachazaktem. Mm-hmm. And vachazaktem still keeps the chata patach on the ches.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? Yeah. So a chata vowel is tantamount to a shavo. Mm. How are we doing? Mm. So far, so good?
Yeah.
Now, there is a very interesting rule of dikduk, and that is, when you have two shavas, one after the other, mm-hmm. the first one is silent, and the second one is sounded. Mm-hmm. Okay? The first one is silent, the second one is sounded. A bit like the word, take a word like, mishpachosom, their families. Mishpachosom, their families. So there's a shva on the shin and a shva on the pei. The first shva on the shin is silent, and the second shva on the pei is sounded. Mishpacho son. We don't say. So when you have two shvas, one after the other, the first one is a shva noch, silent. The second one is a shva no, sounded. Now, if we would have a chataf komotz on the ches, which is what the Radak and the Minchas Shai are promoting, then you've got a shva on the reish with a chataf komotz on the ches and a shva on the mem. It's as though you've got three shavas in a row. It's tantamount having three shavas in a row, because a chataf vowel counts like a shva. So you've got a silent shva on the reish, which is fine. You've got a chataf komotz on the ches, which is like a sounded shva, and you've got a sounded shva, a shva no, on the mem, erchom mecha. And that would be tantamount to having two sounded consecutive shva vowels. I'm sorry, it's so technical. You're okay? It'd be much easier than a blackboard here, but never mind. Okay, so erchom mecha, according to this Minchas Shai, erchom mecha, according to the Minchashai and the Radak, who say that this ches has a chataf komotz, the chataf komotz is tantamount to a shva. In which case, you've got a sound, it's as though you've got a sounded shva on the ches, followed by a sounded shva on the mem, erecha mecha. And that's strange. It's a small cash on there.
What normally happens when you have three shvas in a row?
I don't know a single case where you do have three shvas in a row. But that doesn't mean this doesn't exist, it just means I don't know it.
Okay.
Yeah? I don't know. I can't remember. I was just thinking from a Gilles source, but no. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. You wanna go. Okay? All right. I'd love to finish off the pasuk because I can complete the pasuk. Yeah? I can email the recording to you if you want.
Okay.
Yeah? Okay, good. Right, pleasure. Now the Medrash of Chetov gives no fewer than four different explanations of this word erchomcha. Okay? Translation number one is e'ehovcha, which is no doubt where Rashi got it from. Yeah? E'ehovcha, I would love you. Second translation of erchomcha is I will call you, David says, I will call you someone who is rachum. So erchomcha means I will term you, Hashem, as a being who shows rachmonus. Erchomcha, I will ascribe rachmonus to you. Yeah. Pshat number three is erchomcha, I will make you have rachmonus on your beings. Erchomcha, I will cause you to have rachmonus on your creations. Yeah, I'll make you have rachmonus on your creatures. I'll arouse rachmonus within you for your creations. And translation number four is the opposite. I will make your beings love you. Get them, exactly, yeah. I will arouse them to have rachmanus, not to have rachmanus, so to have love on you. Cause them to show love to you. Four different pshatim. And on this, that's brought in the Medrash of Chetov, and also in the Alkut Miyam Lois. Then in the Medrash of Chetov, Rabbi Nechemiah then says in the name of Reish Lakish, this is remarkable. David has said one word, erchomcha, and we can see it can split off into four different translations, four different meanings. And he says, based on that, David has said this one word with multiple meanings to it, to which HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to David and says, amazing David, you're amazing, you're wonderful, you say one word, and it's got four different meanings, you are Chizki, you are my strength. In other words, this last word in our Pasuk, Chizki, is Hashem's reply to David. Yeah? So David said, Erchomcha Hashem, and that word Erchomcha has got these four different meanings, to which Hashem replies, Chizki, you are my strength, David. Yep.
That would be his strength.
because you are, you're bringing my, you're making a Kiddush Hashem in the world.
You're my shliach.
You're bringing my message to mankind. Yeah, you're my person. Yeah, you're my man. Yeah, so you are my strength. So according to that, it's Hashem replying to David. Isn't that beautiful? Now, based on this, I found in a sefer this. I'm going to say this, even though I don't fully understand what I'm about to say. Okay, I have a sefer at home on the computer, which was given to me by David Dombrowski. Do you remember David? He's come down. He actually came to one of our shiurim, a good friend of mine from Gateshead. Do you remember he came once to our shiur? He comes down. He stays with us from time to time. He's a big, big, big Talmud Chacham. Yeah. So David, he uses the computer a lot in his learning. And he gave me a few Sforim on Tehillim for the sake of our share. And one of them is a very modern sefer called Shaar HaMelech. It's very modern. It was printed in 1967. And it's written by Reb Meir Blumenfeld, who came from America. Newark, New Jersey. And it's a very long sefer on Tehillim. And he says, he takes this this medrash that we've just learned, how Erechomcha has got four different meanings. And the word splits into four different meanings. And he says that in this way, it echoes what the Medrash Shecha Tov says right at the beginning of Tehillim. In Tehillim, Perek Aleph, right at the beginning, the Medrash Shecha Tov says as follows. Moshe is very close to the beginning, quite close to the beginning of the Medrash Shecha Tov in Tehillim, right at the beginning. Moshe nosan lohem chamisha chumshi Torah. Moshe gave Klal Yisrael five books of the Torah. Uchenegdom, and parallel to them, nosan lohem David, Sefer Tehillim. David gave Klal Yisrael the book of Tehillim. Sheyeshbo chamisha svarim, which has in it five books. Tehillim, I didn't know this, but Tehillim is subdivided into five sections. I didn't know that. Oh. So, in other words, David has got Tehillim split into five sections, parallel to the Chamisha Chamisha Torah, again split into five sections. Oh, so says the in this sefer Shaar HaMelech that what we see here on our pasuk Erchomcha, with the word Erchomcha having five different pshatim on it, sorry, four different pshatim on it, is echoed from. It says it reminds him of a Gemara in Shabbos Daf Peches on the base. The Gemara there explains a pasuk which is found in Yirmiyah. Oh, I haven't got the bookmark here. Oh, I'll find it. Where the pasuk says in Yirmiyah, and it's in chapter Kaf Gimel, and it's pasuk Kaf Tes. Just give me 1 second. Kaf Gimel, Kaf Tes. Oh. Where Hashem says, Halochu Dvari Ko'esh Ne'um Hashem, says God, isn't my word like fire? The Torah is like fire. Uchafatish, and like a hammer, yefotzeit sola, which splits the rock. Sparks flying off a rock. Exactly. The words of Torah are like sparks flying off a rock. Okay? Now, it's a bit of a machlokus whether it means sparks flying off a rock, or whether it means a rock that is so hard that if the hammer smashes the rock, I'm sorry, that if the hammer bangs on the rock, the hammer will smash. Tosus here brings it, it's a machlokus how to learn it. It either means that the sparks fly off the rock, or the hammer itself, the rock is so tough that the hammer itself will be smashed to pieces. Okay? Machlokus, how to learn pshat and pasuk. At any rate, the Gemara takes this pasuk in Yirmiyah, chapter Kaf Gimel, pasuk Kaf Tes, and says as follows. Tani Devei Rabbi Shmuel, we have a braisa learnt from Rabbi Shmuel, v'chafatish yifot seitz sola, that's our pasuk, like the hammer which brings the sparks on the rock. Ma patish there mechlak lachamonit tzotzos, like this hammer which causes multiple sparks. I've called dibra v'dibra sheyotzem v'yakad shporuch hu, so to every one of the ases hadibros, which came from Akad Shporuch hu, mechlak l'shivim l'shenes, is split into 70 different meanings. 70 different meanings. It's, the Gemara is trying to explain how the Torah has multiple facets to it. Don't say Shivim Ponim La Torah, the 70 facets to the Torah. So he says as follows, like the Torah itself, the Torah is given in five five books of the Torah. So too, says the Medrash Shofar Tov, the Tehillim is also presented in five books. Likewise, and like the Torah splits into multiple meanings, so too Tehillim splits into multiple meanings, illustrated by our word Erchomcha, which the Medrash Shofar Tov gives four different pshatim on it. And in this sefer, the Shara Melech, he connects it to the next pasuk, where Hashem is described as Hashem Sal'i Umtzadosi, you are my rock. Hashem is my rock, meaning my protection. So he wants to connect that word Sal'i, like that pasuk, Chafatish Yefot Seit Sola, Sola meaning the rock, and is immediately followed by pasuk Gimel, which is got Hashem Sal'i Umtzadosi. Okay, Hashem is my rock. Now, I didn't fully understand it, but it's a very beautiful shot, so I think I've got the gist of it.
Maybe it's man's physical action in striking, in making an effort, intense, hits something hard that reveals light, sparks. But it needs that effort of the person. That is the hammer. It's not to breaking it, is it? Because sometimes you don't break it off, just it fly off.
Yeah, yeah.
And it converts the rock into a spark. Or causes a spark to fly off. The rock is not damaged or hardly affected. It's maybe a molecule or two might have given off some energy.
Yeah.
But it's the illumination of the spark that comes by itself. Different meanings of things. Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Could be the same beautiful thought. Yeah. The effort of learning is what brings about the revelation of light of learning. Yeah. Yeah. Good.
And also
can catch
on to something.
Yeah.
And then something can cause light. You illuminate.
Good. Let me show you one last thing here. One last beautiful thought from Rav Shimshon von Hirsch. Rav Shimshon von Hirsch, you'd expect him to come onto this word Erchomcha, because it's such an amazing word. Reish Ches Mem in the Kal, and it's the only time in Tanakh where it comes in the Kal. Okay? Because it's normally used in the PL. Says Rav Shimshon von Hirsch, we understand how Reish Ches Mem, which means mercy, and we understand it comes from the word Rechem, which is a womb. We understand that the classic form of mercy is the mercy that a parent bestows upon a child, hence the connection with the word Rechem, meaning a womb. Says Rav Shimshon von Hirsch, when Reish Ches Mem is used in the PL, L'rachem, Richamti, Merachem, when it's used in the PL, which is how it's normally used, that is when it takes on the meaning like the mercy that a parent might show for the child. When it's used in the Kal, as it is here, and it's the only time, Erchomcha, it is the reverse. It is the mercy that the child bestows upon the parent. Which is why it's David, the child, talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the reverse.
It's the mercy to David from Hashem.
Normally, it would be. Normally, it's the senior bestowing mercy upon the junior. The child, that's in the PL. That's what's in the PL. Here it's the opposite. It's Erchomcha, it's unusual, it's in the Kal, and it's David, who's the servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the junior, and he's saying, I'm turning the love in the other way, in the other direction. I'm turning my love towards you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm like your child, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm showing my love for you, Erchomcha. Because it's in the PL, because it's in the Kal. Normally in the PL is the mercy of the father to the child. In the Kal, it's the mercy or the love of the child towards the father. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing, Rav Shimshon von Hirsch. Now, if I may be permitted to add a small idea of my own based on this story of Shimshon von Hirsch, and that is from from Sefer Yonah. There's a very strange phrase in Sefer Yonah. You know, I teach Yonah in school. Now, at the end of Perek Beis of Sefer Yonah, Perek Beis Pasuk Tes, there's a very strange word, and the word is Meshamrim. Let me show you that word. Meshamrim Havle Shav Chastom Ya'azovu. It's in Perek Beis Pasuk Tes. Meshamrim Havle Shav Chastom Ya'azovu. Now, it's the end of Yonah's tefillah towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he's inside the fish. And he turns to Hashem and he talks about the sailors. The sailors were on the boat. We know that they were over the Avodah Zarah. Okay? Later on, they did Teshuvah. That we know they did Teshuvah. According to Rashi, they promised to become Gerim. Rashi at the end of Perek Aleph says that they undertook to become Gerim. They certainly, according to the Medrash, they did become Gerim.
A non-Jew can do teshuvah
from his avers. Yes, why ever not? Why not? He's chayav in seven misses. He can do teshuvah for them.
The Jew has something that he's inherited from Moshe Rabbeinu. It's part of the Moshe Rabbeinu in him, and he leaves it or leaves his Jewish way of chalila. He's not saying what's to return to. The guy doesn't. So teshuvah isn't returned.
I think a non-Jew can return to Hashem because a non-Jew has
to return to Hashem.
Yeah.
But not teshuvah. He can have. He returns to Hashem, but who created him? But it's not the same sense as a Jew doing teshuvah. Teshuvah is returning to Hashem spiritually.
Could be. I mean, we see the whole town of Nineveh did teshuvah. They weren't Jewish. They did teshuvah. They were, So we do find the concept of teshuvah. Okay, maybe there are some differences there, but we do find that it's feasible.
Nineveh was a special case because they were the sons of Ashur, and Ashur hadn't broken away as Nimrod had broken away. To fight, he didn't like the idea of building the Tower of Babel, so he left. So he was one of the sons of Noah, or he was one of the sons of Noah, who left, who had what to return to. He hadn't rebelled. That's why he did this. He's keeping to what Noah had bequeathed to him. But Nimrod was different. So it's made a genuine instance where you'll find teshuvah used for a non-Jew. I don't think there's anywhere else you'll find that.
I think I have examples, yeah. Yeah, so maybe that teshuvah is an unusual teshuvah. They were given a chance to do teshuvah, maybe that was unusual. Okay.
But it didn't last, of course.
No, because they said they came to it. Well, it may have done, I don't know. They did. Their main avera was an avera of theft. And they did teshuvah for that. Yeah, you're talking about because later on they came to invade Eretz Israel. Yeah.
So that was a punishment. Yonah was fearful that his own people would be shown up.
Yes.
By Ashur or Nineveh.
That's why he didn't want to go.
That's what the story is all about. But their teshuvah, if you can call it teshuvah, to return to Hashem, because they had what to return to, for the bequeath from Noach, if you like, they had what to return to, didn't last. Because they marched against Yerushalayim, was to march against Hashem.
Yeah.
They rebelled. So just as Nimrod had rebelled, and they didn't like it, so gradually they followed suit. And in another way, they rebelled by much of Yerushalayim. So it wasn't a sincere teshuvah, but teshuvah in the sense of a Jew doing teshuvah. This is a Baal teshuvah. You become a master of teshuvah. And you don't turn back. I think it's a very Jewish term, teshuvah, meaning you've got what to return to.
Yeah.
The goyim don't have that.
I'm not giving them a chance, or they're not giving that. They're not giving that privilege. Not usually.
They can take it up, and that becomes a ger. But a ger doesn't do the shiva. He joins the Jewish people.
Yes, true. Rabbi Cooper once told me that I once asked Rabbi Cooper, "Zechatati Livracha, is it a mitzvah for a non-Jew to become a ger?" And he said, "Of course." And he said, "They come tachas kampei ashchina, and when they do, they are forgiven all their previous aviras." Interesting. Yeah. And when
with the Jew as well.
Pardon?
With the Jew as well. He's just a shiver immediately.
Forgiven. Yeah.
So it's nothing.
It makes it not surprising. Yeah. Just while we're on Sefer Yonah and we're on Rabbi Cooper, let's just tell you Rabbi Cooper's expression about Yonah Hanavi, because he didn't want to go to Nineveh, fearful that people of Nineveh would do teshuva while Klal Yisrael would continue doing their aviris. The expression that Rabbi Cooper used was, his Ahavas Yisrael eclipsed his Yiras Shamayim. Of course he had Yiras Shamayim. Hashem told him to go, he should have gone. Yeah, but why didn't he go? Because he had Ahavas Yisrael. So they clashed.
In Chassidus, they say, what is greater, Yiras Hashemayim, or a love of Hashem, or a love of the Jewish people?
Yeah.
They say that Hashem loves those who love his people. So the love of the people comes first, because Hashem loves them. Just as when you want to offer a reward for someone, if you want to need a reward for yourself, you offer a reward for someone else, because who you love, Hashem will love you. But this is the reasoning.
Very good. Okay, let me come back to this pasuk. I want to show you, permit me to say over an idea of my own, based on this piece of Shem Shem Fal Hash. So Shem Shem Fal Hash learns that because Reish Ches Mem is normally used in the PL, and that's the Rachmanus shown by the parent to the child. And here it's in the Kal, which is the reverse, David showing love for Hashem. So based on that, it occurs to me that maybe this pasuk here, it's in Yonah chapter base pasuk test, Meshamrim Havleishov, Chastam Yazovu. So very short and tricky pasuk. It's where Yonah is talking about the sailors on the boat, and he refers to the sailors as Meshamrim Havleishov. They are those who guard absolute rubbish. So the Mepharshim say, what are these sailors guarding? They were guarding their Avodah Zorah. They guard their Avodah Zorah, and Chastam Yazovu, well, that phrase Chastam Yazovu is a machlok, is how to learn it. Some, and Rashi brings two pshatim, it either means they ignore HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the true source of their chesed, because they serve at idols, or it can be the reverse, Chastam Yazovu, where the word chesed can mean something evil, like we find in Parashas Achrimos, I think it is, chesed hu, which is referring to one, to some of the averis of the immoralities. Chesed, the word chesed can mean something evil. And Chastam Yazovu means they leave behind, they've left behind their evil because they're now doing teshuvah. Whichever pshat you learn, the fact is that Meshamrim Havlei Shov refers to the sailors on the boat, and Yonah calls them Meshamrim Havlei Shov. Hevel and Shov are both expressions for rubbish. So Havlei Shov means absolute rubbish, and Meshamrim Havlei Shov means those sailors who guard absolute rubbish. And it refers to them looking after and lovingly looking after their idols. Okay? We know they had idols because the idols referred to, the sailors prayed to the idols when the storm started brewing. Yeah, it says, Vayizaku Ishel Elohov, Sopotik and Perak Aleph, Vayizaku Ishel Elohov, each man cried out to his God. So they did serve idols. So Yonah says, these sailors used to serve idols.
They were Jews, and they cried out to their God, to their...
No, they were not Jews. The sailors were not Jews. He's a good Ishel Elohov. I don't know. Elohov, his gods. They all had their own little gods.
Didn't they have gods?
The word Elohov is a plural form.
Yeah,
we do use it as well in the singular. That's true. Gracious Barile Kim is a plural word referring to singular Hakadosh Baruch Hu. It's true. But it was idols. They did have idols. Yeah?
Do we know that for sure?
I think so, yes. No, I'm pretty sure they weren't. I'm pretty sure they weren't Jewish. Well, the Medrash, actually, I can prove it. The Radak on this Pasuk actually says that those sailors went off, and they afterwards came to Nineveh, and they did Teshuvah, and they had Bris Milah, and they became Gerim. So they did start off as non-Jews, idol worshipping non-Jews, and later on they became wonderful and they became Gerim. Now, this word Meshamrim is a very strange word, because that word Meshamrim, the root is Shin Memreish, to God. And Shin Memreish is throughout Tanakh used generally in the Kal. And the word you'd expect is Shomrim, which is in the Kal form. Shomrim. To God. Yeah? Shomer, Shomariti, Shomer, Eshmer, those are all in the Kal. This word Meshamrim is used in the PL. Meshamrim is a present tense PL. It's got the same pattern as Makablim or Medabarim, Mechazkim, Megadlim, Mesamchim. And here we have Meshamrim. It's a PL form. Okay? And it's a very unusual form. Why should it be in the PL? It's very unusual to have Shin Memreish in the PL. And I looked it up in my concordance. If I understood it correctly, there are only two instances in Tanakh where Shin Memreish is used in the PL. This is one of them. And the other one is referring to Pesach as Leil Shimurim. Now that word Shimurim is a noun, and it's not a verb, it's a noun, Shimurim, and it's a noun based on a PL pattern. This is a verb based on a PL pattern, and it's very, very strange. Because Shin Memreish as a verb is nearly always used in the Kal, and this is the only, if I've got it right from my concordance, this is the only case where Shin Memreish is used in the PL.
So we now translate it as
guarding. Still uses guarding, but it's a strange form of guarding. So it occurs to me, like the Rav Shimshon Feil Hirsch says, how normally Reish Ches Mem is used in the PL and refers to the parent showing mercy on the child. And now that it's unusually used in our Pasuk, Erchomcha, in the Kal, it's the reversal, and it means the child showing love for the parent. So likewise here, it's a reversal. Because if it's a God will normally guard his servants, those who worship him. And here it's the idol worshippers guarding their little idols. So it's the idol worshippers guarding their idols, which is the reversal of what you'd normally expect. If an idol is a true god, then it will surely guard its worshippers. Yeah? I don't think so. I think he's still referring to the sailors in their idol worshipping stage. When they were idol worshippers, Meshamim Haveshav, they were guarding their idols, which Yonah describes as Haveshav, as being rubbish. So I'm saying it's the reversal. Normally, if a Kodesh Baruch Hu guards, it's a true God guarding those who worship him. But because here we're not talking about a true God, we're talking about idols, so it's them having to guard their idols. So it's doing the reverse. Normally it would be in the Kal. Here it's put in the PL. That's the only case of Shin Memreish in the PL in the Tanakh. So that's my own. I'm guessing based on that piece of Rishon Shemesh, built on that piece of Rishon Shemesh, where it's the same root but in the reverse direction. Likewise here, it's the same root in Memreish, but in the reverse direction. Normally, you'd expect to, if the idol is worth its salt, it will guard those who worship it. Yeah, right. Yeah, that's what they would have expected. Yeah, here it's the idol worshippers guarding their gods. It's the opposite of what you'd expect. So it's Shin Memreish in the PL. Maybe. Is that, I've said, yeah, that's an idea.